You be seated. I don't get to say this very often, but I think that's the first time I've ever heard that song. So
that makes two of us.
So there you go. But that's great. It's always good to be exposed to new things, right? You have your Bibles, if you would open them with me to the book of Nehemiah. We are in the 12th chapter. We will conclude our study in Nehemiah next week, God willing. This morning we are in chapter 12. We're going to reference all of chapter 12, although I'm only going to highlight a couple of verses in our reading. Nehemiah, again, is in the Old Testament, and perhaps the quickest way there is to find the book of Psalms and just keep backing up until you find Nehemiah. I'll never forget one day when I was in seminary, I was working at a local hospital. I had parked my car in the parking garage. I'd gotten onto the elevator to go down from the parking lot, garage across the street to go to work. And as I was in the elevator, the doors opened, and the pastor of the church that Anita and I were attending walked into the elevator. Now, he had no idea who I was, even though I knew who he was. It was a very, very large church, and the Sunday school class that Anita and I attended was bigger than our church gathering. So it was a several thousand member church, and the pastor got into the elevator, and it was just he and I, and you know, we continued to go down, and I remember he leaned forward into my chest to read my name tag, and he asked me if I was a seminary student, and I said that I was, and he said, "You're in finals now, is that correct?" And I said, "I am. I just finished up. I'd either just finished that day or the day before or something." And he made this statement, and it's always kind of stuck with me. He said, "Everyone should be a student at some point in their lives and experience finals so they can know the joy that comes when they're over. There is a great joy that comes with completing something." And Nehemiah and the people of Israel understood the joy that comes with a job well done. And they knew, too, the source of that blessing. In Nehemiah chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 27, followed by verse 43. Verse 27 says, "At the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sent for the Levites, wherever they lived, and they brought them to Jerusalem to celebrate the joyous dedication with thanksgiving and singing accompanied by cymbals, harps, and lyres. And on that day, they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced because God had given them great joy. And the women and children also celebrated, and Jerusalem's rejoicing was heard far away." Father, we are thankful this morning for who you are and what you have done in us and through us and for us. And as we come now to where we open this word and we spend some time together this morning talking about it, we ask that you will open our hearts and minds, that we may be receptive to the truth of this scripture. We pray that its teaching will be clear, that will be accurate. We pray that as we listen this morning, that we will seek to apply the truths that we learn. May we live these things out by your grace, by your spirit. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to take a look at this episode in the life of the people of Israel this morning to understand how important it is that we celebrate the great victories and the blessings that God gives. Now, if you've been with us at all through this study, you have heard us talk about the condition of the city walls around Jerusalem. The people of Israel had been in exile, and they had been given permission to return home. And although that permission had come several years before this particular book and its events, the city walls around Jerusalem had not been rebuilt. As a matter of fact, previous efforts had been stopped by local opposition and by Persian opposition. But now Nehemiah a cupbearer to the king of Persia, has been given permission to come to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And he has led the people in doing just that. As they rebuilt the city walls of Jerusalem, they overcame adversaries locally and threats and charges and falsehoods, and the walls were completed in record time. They've experienced revival and a renewal of their sense of God's people. And now in this 12th chapter, they've gathered to celebrate. They've gathered to rejoice. They've gathered to give thanks to God for who He is and what He has done. And as we talk about that this morning, we're going to highlight a couple of things that we find in this chapter. And the first of those is that God is the object of our thanksgiving. Now, you're welcome when you get home this afternoon. I would encourage you to do so. You're welcome to read through the verses that we passed over, including all that list of names in chapter 1 of verse 12 and following. But by the time we get to verse 27, we see that the Levites had been brought in to be part of this great celebration. If you were to continue reading in verses 28 and following, they were singers and they were musicians and all sorts of folks who were also brought in to lend their talents to the celebration. And so there was singing and playing and praising taking place. It was quite a time of rejoicing. And we see, as we read through this chapter, the verses that we highlighted together, that it is something that all the people participated in. Expressing praise and thanks is not just the job of leaders. It's not just the job of a select few. And I think that sometimes it is perilous if we're not careful in the days and age we live. And sometimes we do it by our construction. We almost create the atmosphere or the environment that says, well, everything that happens up here is a show, is a performance, and you all out there sit and watch. But that's not what praise and worship is supposed to be. Matter of fact, in talking with our contractors, one of the things that we have stressed to them is that don't put us in a dark room. We want to be able to see. We want to be able to see Bibles. We want to be able to understand that we're all in this together.
Yes,
and so all the people had gathered together, and they all participated in the worship. The leaders led, but the people participated, and joy resounded. And so we must guard against being passive participants in worship. And we must learn to express our joy together. Matthew Henry says, all that share in public mercies ought to join in public thanksgivings. So I would encourage you this morning to give praise to God, to celebrate Him. When you are gathered here, sing out. Rejoice in who He is and what He's done. At home, praise Him with your family.
Amen.
At work, in your neighborhoods, let your lives be songs of praise. The author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 13, verse 15, that therefore through Him let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, that is the fruit of our lips that confess His name. So our praise is more than the songs we sing. It's more than the prayers we pray. It's more than the readings we participate in. Our praise is the way we live our lives every day. And so while we gather here and we participate in public worship, let us do those things vigorously. But in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, may our lives bear testimony and give praise to Jesus.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And as praise and thanksgiving is something that we all engage in, the very notion of thanksgiving implies to us that we have someone to thank. It has been said that the worst holiday for those who subscribe to atheism and secular humanism is Thanksgiving. Because it is on Thanksgiving that we express our thanks. And if there are those who reject the notion of a benevolent God, then to whom do you give thanks? So Thanksgiving implies that we have someone to thank. At the center of this day's praise and celebration are purifications and dedications. In verse 43, we read together, we read that this takes place. In verse 30, we read that the Levites had dedicated themselves and dedicated the people and dedicated the gates. And so the people that were gathered there this day in this time of worship understood their need for cleansing. They knew their forgiveness was rooted in the mercy of God. And as believers, we too need to celebrate what God has done. We're to be thankful. He has set us free. He has paid our debt. He has given us life and hope and forgiveness. And I want to read together a lengthy passage out of Ephesians. We just read this a week or two ago, but I want to read it again because it is such a picture of what it is we have to rejoice about. So if you want to follow along, you can. If not, just listen as I read to you the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. And notice the transition. Notice the contrast. Paul is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, and he says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you previously lived according to the ways of this world, according to the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the disobedient. We too all previously lived among them in our fleshly desires, carrying out the inclinations of our flesh and thoughts. And we were by nature children under wrath, as the others were also. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. You are saved by grace. He also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he may display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For you are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift. Not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do." We understand that God has changed our lives because of Jesus. God had enabled the Israelites to overcome their adversaries and their obstacles to complete the wall around the city of Jerusalem. And Jesus enables us to overcome the sin in our lives and come into a right relationship with him. He gives us victory over sin and death. Paul writes to the Corinthians, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always excelling in the Lord's work, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain."
Amen. Yes, sir.
Jesus can and will change your life.
Yep.
Well, I encourage you this morning to trust him. You're not going to change it on your own. You're not going to overcome it with willpower in and of itself. You're not going to balance it out with good deeds or religious efforts. But rather trust in Christ, who he is, what he's done, and what he offers. God is the object of our thanksgiving. And the second truth that we see then is that thanksgiving and joy go hand in hand. As the people rejoice, they express thanks. As they express thanks, they rejoice. Because God is the God of joy. The psalmist tells us that verse 43 tells us that they rejoice because God had given them great joy. Our joy comes from God. It is rooted in him. The psalmist tells us that you made me to know the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Paul writes to the Roman believers and says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So we need to remind ourselves this morning that our joy is not dependent upon our circumstances. And since our joy is rooted in and flows from God's presence in our lives, we can rejoice even amid our circumstances. You know, sometimes that's the great struggle that we have, because we tend to think that our joy is dependent upon what happens to us. It depends upon what the doctor says. It depends upon what our employer says. It depends upon what the tax man says. It depends upon who's elected or who's in power. But our joy is independent of all of that. Our joy rests in Jesus. It rests in His presence in our lives, and it flows from Him. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 that we have also obtained access through Him by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We can be joyful. We can celebrate. We can rejoice. And we need to understand then that thanksgiving and joy are often matters of perspective. And when we read the Old Testament and many of the encounters and many of the situations the people of Israel found themselves in, if we go to the book of Exodus, we read of the Exodus. Remember the children of Israel, they are in captivity in Egypt, and God sets them free and He delivers them. And the book of Exodus tells us of that journey, as does the books of Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, as the people of Israel made their way out of captivity to the promised land. Had some bumps and twists and turns along the way, most of them of their own doing. But when we read those encounters, one of the things we see is their grumbling. We see there's always a lack of contentment or joy in their hearts. God had delivered them. He had provided water and food for them. He guided them by day and by night. He dwelt with them. He protected them. He preserved them, yet they grumbled. They often lacked a joy and a sense of thanksgiving. It wasn't because they had needs that were unmet, but rather their needs were met. But their wants distorted their perspective. You know things are bad. You know your heart's corrupt when you begin to long for days of slavery as opposed to days of freedom. How often do our wants distort our perspective? We know it's easy for us to do as they did. If you've had struggles, you know how easy it is to focus on the negative. How easy it is to focus on all the things that go wrong. For me, it's tempting to focus on the limitations my health brings, or to focus on all the medications that I have to take. There are some mornings I get out, I forget how many gazillion pills, and I'm counting them out, and I'm laying them in my hand, and this one causes that side effect, and that one causes this side effect, and I take that one to counter this one, and this one to counter that one. Some of you know what that's like. And it's easy to grumble. But instead of focusing on the negative, we need to focus on the blessings that God gives.
Yes, sir.
We need to continue to look at Him and what He has done for us in Christ. We often reference Philippians chapter 4, and in that chapter Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." You know, guys, sometimes if we're honest, we say this to ourselves. I could truly be happy. I could truly be joyous if only this would change in my life. Well, let me ask you a question. What if this never changes? What if the illness never goes away? What if the cure never comes? What if your spouse never changes? What if your children never turn back? What if your job doesn't improve? I'm not trying to be gloomy this morning. I'm not trying to be discouraging. But what I'm suggesting to us is we need to quit basing our joy on what happens around us and begin to base our joy on what has happened in us through Christ.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And when we do that, when we are thankful and joyous, the people around us know it. Verse 43 says again that the women and children also celebrated. And then it says, and Jerusalem's rejoicing was heard far away. A joyous Christian is hard to miss. During football season, I have a neighbor who must watch the games in his garage. And he must be a pretty optimistic Browns fan. And I don't even have to watch the game to know how the game is going. I can be in my backyard and I will hear shouts of jubilation. And then I'll hear strange languages that I'm not sure what everything means. And I usually hear more of the latter than the former. People around us know when we are joyous. Particularly when they begin to put two and two together and realize that our joyousness is not always connected to the events of our lives. We sort of stand out when that happens. We're sort of like, and I don't know if you've seen these sorts of things, but a photograph that is in black and white, but there's just a portion of it that's in color. Have you noticed those over the last few years? Like someone will post a picture of an apple in their hand. The picture's in black and white, but the apple will be green. And that color draws your attention. It stands out. It's in stark contrast to its surrounding. That's the joyous Christian. We stand out. In simple terms, it's weird. We are to be a bit weird. Now, even though some of us are pretty strange and have a head start on the weirdness, that's not the kind of weird I'm talking about. We can't live that kind of life apart from Christ. You can fake a smile, but you can't fake joy. So let us rest in Christ. Let us trust fully in Him and in His mercy and in His provision. He has purified us. He has given us a reason to celebrate. Let all of those around us hear the joy of our lives in Christ. The Israelites gathered to celebrate the completion of the wall. They knew that God had enabled this, and so they rejoiced in Him and they expressed their praise and their thanksgiving. And we are to celebrate what Jesus has done in our lives. We know the work of redemption is done. That is, that God has brought us into right relationship with Himself by paying for our sin in Christ. As a matter of fact, as we talk about the work of redemption being done, we often comment that the difference in religion and Christianity is two simple letters. Religion is about telling you what to do. Christianity is about telling you what Christ has done.
Yes, sir.
As long as you and I are doing, attempting to get what can only be gotten by the completed work of Christ, we're missing it. The work is done. That N and that E make a big difference. And while a restored relationship with Christ is the greatest thing God has done for us, we know that it's not the only thing. if we stop and we look around with a renewed sense of perspective, we see His blessings every day. We can echo what James tells us when he says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So yeah, we may be on more medication than we are like, but we have a degree of well-being that we would not have had otherwise. And yes, our bodies may not work the way they once did, but we are still able to love and to laugh and to move forward in life to some degree.
Amen. You're right.
And our kids may have moved away. And things in our marriages may not be perfect, but we know that there are blessings in the midst of those times. So let us thank Him for all that He has done. Let us rejoice in Christ and celebrate what God has done in us and through us and for us. Sometimes, folks, that begins by learning to celebrate some simple things. Learning to rejoice in some simple blessings. I love the way the hymn writer puts it. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. All my soul, praise Him, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Praise Him in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord, who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shelters thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted and what He ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do if with His love He befriend thee. Praise to the Lord. Oh, let all that is in me adore Him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before Him. Let the Amen sound from His people again. Gladly for aye we adore Him. Let us give thanks for what God has done. Pray with me. Father, we are indeed thankful for the work of Christ. We are thankful that it is finished.